Hey, it's the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. And today in the studio, kind of a special day, pretty special day. I have three guests. Okay. I have my nephew, J.D. Lorton. I have a good friend, Greg Snyders, and another good friend, Donnie Braden. And all of us kind of were a team in accomplishing something, and we're gonna talk about this today. And it's not like, hey, you know, we're bragging how great we are, but it's about we were just a part of it, and you know, we didn't set a foot on the floor to play, but we were a part of something that was pretty big. And that was 40 years ago. We were part of the Calhoun team that won the Winchester tournament. And the tournament's been going on for, it'll be 103 years starting tomorrow, which is Saturday. And we're the only team that ever won it from Calhoun. And they've been in it for 56 years. And we just, and we're not saying it was necessarily a fluke or anything, but I don't know. The situation was just kind of perfect. It was like the perfect storm for us. And we know the Calhoun team and both Carrollton and all the great local teams are getting ready to start this tournament. And we just wanted to, this little session, to share and hope to inspire other teams that, hey, you know, never count yourself out. You can always come through. Crazy things can happen. We're going to start off with Greg Snyders was my assistant coach, and I had another assistant coach, Rick Johns, and JD was my manager slash ball boy. Him and Nate were my guys, and they played a big part in it. And then there was Donnie Braden, who was our sixth man. Of course, he was in charge of the fans, and he had a group of them. We'll get into all this, but it all played a big part in it. And anyway, any of you guys want to make a comment before I have Greg go over the team?
I'd just like to say, as far as your other assistant, Rick Johns, it should have been, he was there for the stipend. I just want to clarify that right now.
The stipend and the food at the hospitality room at the Winchester tournament.
JD?
No comment. I tell you what, man, he was a good comedian though all year.
Well, you know what? You guys say that, but in reality, he didn't know very much about basketball, but he kept good humor on the team, and he was kind of like my inside man, you know, with the team, and he was tough, you know. He made them the type of team we are. A lot of it was because of his 2 cents worth in about being tough, and you know,
he's a motivator.
Yeah, good motivator. He was definitely a part. We would have had him here today, but we didn't have enough microphones. Hey, Greg, go over the team.
Yeah, the players on the team that year was Tim Atterbury, Matt Ballman, Matt J. Ballman, Dave Bick, Billy Braden, Scott Coughlin, Justin Gibson, Bo Herkett, Jim Herkett, Chris Jones, Chris Sleeper, and Tim Winicky.
All right. Hopefully, that's 12. We got them all, right?
We think we got them all.
Yeah. And, what were we rated in that tournament? Do you guys?
I believe we were fifth, ranked fifth.
Yeah. We were fifth. And there were some great teams in that tournament.
That tournament year. It was loaded.
Yeah. Comments?
No, it was absolutely loaded. I think it was one of the best ones ever as far as talent and teams from top to bottom. I mean, you had Perry in there that was ranked ahead of us, and that was probably the best team in their history
that
they had there.
Yeah.
And they were good.
How about Winchester? They were rated, I think, I'm going to say they were rated second in the tournament. I'm not for sure.
Well, they had to be. I mean, they were Elite Eight team that year. They went to Champaign.
Yeah. They were part of the Elite Eight.
Yeah, they had to either be first or second.
Yeah. Well, I think Marquette was first. They were in the top. Well,
Marquette was first. I think okay.
Only because, as we'll talk about later, we had the home bench, so we had to be in the top bracket,
right.
I believe. But Marquette was tough.
Very good.
I mean, how about Marquette? He had the Ducey boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Ducey. He was a big boy. He was a stud.
They had two great guards, too. Yeah.
And they were coached by a legendary Mike Waldo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hall of Famer.
His strategy was hard to beat. Yeah.
Yeah, he made it tough for you to play against him.
Now, let's get in. Let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about Don Braden's his assets, his contributions to us, you know, winning that tournament. We got to go back a little bit, you know. Don, how'd you get started in, you know, the manager, like the kind of the Moses of the fan club?
Well, you know, I kind of felt like a Moses. I think I was probably 26 at the time, and here I am leading high school kids in cheers. You know, I had everything but the skirt, you know. But no, I think it all started with me is when I was coaching grade school girls basketball. My first year was when Christy Longnecker and Cindy Titus and Connie Bloomberg, when they went to high school, I followed them through high school. And then they started playing regionals, and I started wearing basketballs on my head then and kind of doing it then. And then with the football, I was around that team every day.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
Of course, we grew up together, you know.
Yes.
in all through grade school and high school. And you were like one of the biggest jokesters ever in school. So, okay, I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, that kind of set the groundwork there. But anyhow, I was around the kids during football. And of course, that year in football, we went to the semifinals. And I knew those kids, and I just picked up on it. And I think it really got noted for me the year before at Brussels. Yeah, he goes, I was there for a Calhoun-Brussels game, and everybody knows that was a big rivalry game.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and we hit town at Brussels probably about...
Can I say something?
Yes.
You know, that is the only game, was in Sports Illustrated, the only teams that they ever had to stop the game at halftime. Now, it didn't happen again when we were...
I was on both the teams that did it.
You were? Yeah. Okay. Tell them what happened then.
Well, they call it the pit, and the gym is built into the ground, so when it's so cold out and you get so many people inside, the walls start sweating, so the floor would get wet.
Yeah.
And we didn't even make it through the first half, and the refs called it, so the administrations got together, and we just loaded the buses up and went back to Calhoun and finished it.
Yeah.
And that made Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, and I actually have that Sports Illustrated. Joe Montana's on the cover. Yeah, and I still have that Sports Illustrated magazine.
Yeah, and as a coach, you know, whenever we played Brussels, we'd go down and play in the pit. You know, you wanted to make sure you take the slick end first. One end was a little bit slicker than the other.
It was the open end on the other side.
So you took that first because...
And feeding off that Sports Illustrated, and correct me if I'm wrong, we made it again when we played Louisiana, Missouri, when they only had one player on the floor because they all fouled out. That was when I was a senior in high school. And they only had one player on the floor left because they all fouled out, and we still lost.
No way.
They had nobody to inbound the ball.
No, they was trying to throw it off our player, so we went down the other end of the floor. But they had such a big lead, they all fouled out. And I'm almost positive we made Sports Illustrated for that also.
Greg, any comments about Donnie and his episodes?
Well, he was definitely the sixth man. And I think it was a fun team to get behind. You know, our group, the way we played. And he was just such a big part of leading the fans. Because, I mean, it was... You know, the crowd, you know, that we were packed, and you know, he packed gyms. I mean, we packed gyms.
Yeah. Did they always save a seat for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I even if I got there late, and I mean, they were just elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder, and then bleachers. And when I walk up, it just like parked the seas. They just, oh, everybody just made a spot for me right in the middle. And of course, I had bags of stuff that I wanted to use for the games, like newspapers and whatever else, and just to make sure everybody had it. And then we actually did a little rehearsal before the games, and they all fed off my leads. And yeah, it was pretty good.
How many? It was basically high school, right? Or do you have any adults, or just basically high school kids?
There was a few that were out of high school, like Mark Ballman. He was part of that then, but he'd only been out for a
couple years.
Yeah, a couple years. But yeah, but it was just a big bunch of group of friends and high school kids. And
Hey, so I just want to say, hey, if you're just joining us, I've got Greg Snyders, J.D. Lorton, and Donnie Braden in. We're talking about a little bit of history on the Winchester tournament and winning it back in 86. Go ahead, Donnie. How'd you get kicked out? You got kicked out of one game.
I got kicked out of the Brussels game.
Okay. Yeah. We got to hear that story.
Well, I'll tell you what happened at the game. We went to Brussels at 2 o'clock that afternoon, and we were getting, as you can say, getting primed for the game at Mickey's Tavern. And so we went to the
game.
Who's
we? Probably not a bunch of high school kids.
No, they're quite wasn't 21 at the time, but Mickey's Tavern is pretty liberal with their age limits there. But there's like Mark Ballman and Fish and a bunch of guys like that. We were there, and then we're watching the JV game, and we were primed. We were ready. And it's packed gym, of course, because that gym didn't hold very many people to begin with.
And they got there early.
Yeah. Yeah, we were there an hour before the game even started.
That game would get so packed, Greg. How packed would that great game get? As far as like on the first, like the inbound lines?
Yeah, remember absolutely. That? Yeah, you sat with your feet inbounds.
Yeah, you could not first row. You could not stand on the sidelines because the restriction line.
They played with the restraining line. You know, you had a restraining line to inbound the ball.
Yeah,
you know, it's
go ahead.
And so, I kind of had, I don't know if it was a bad habit or not, but I would target players. Mm-hmm. Certain things about maybe their size, or maybe they went to the table a little bit too long there. But I know when Mark Heffington was there, I'd moo like a cow, because Mark was a pretty good sized boy, and it didn't go over well. No. And who was that head coach? Was that
Dave Gilliland?
Yeah, he wasn't a big fan of mine.
No,
and. So I think I actually got kicked out because it was Jim and Mike Seymour was the referees. And there's a story behind that also I'll tell. Mm-hmm. But the floor was sweating, like JD had mentioned earlier, and they were wiping the floor up. And the only thing that I said, but it was added to other stuff, I said, "Do you do windows too?" And next thing I know, I'm out of there.
Right.
Mike Berry comes. He was the superintendent for Brussels at the time. He comes. I'm out of the gym. So that's basically how I got kicked out of the gym. But back to the Seymours, I got to know Mike and Jim Seymour pretty well after the fact. And about 5 years later, they told me that under no circumstances that I was there for that varsity game. He goes, "You're getting kicked out for that JV game." And I did.
Yeah.
So I was targeted.
Yeah, he had a target on his back. And just to finish the story, I was the JV coach, and it cost me a victory because we got a double technical.
Oh,
and
shoot.
He shot four free throws, and we think we lost by one or...
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yes. But you had those guys. You had them organized, all those kids organized. And, I mean... being the sixth player, the coaches and the players had to take their mind, whoever we were playing, they would take their mind off the game because of you guys.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And our players fed off the energy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the energy was amazing, and, you know, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
I think it was good that our players knew that it was our fans doing it, the yeah. other teams, and they weren't targeted, yeah. you know. And I think it was just a lot of support.
And we did it home or away.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't matter.
Oh, yeah. We traveled. yeah.
Traveled well, too.
Now, right. That's pretty common for colleges to do that. Now, I don't know about high yeah. schools, but colleges. But that was kind of new that was kind of brand new, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, for 1986. Yeah, it wasn't a lot of colleges even doing it back then, too. And I kind of got a lot of my stuff. How I got started, I started watching the Antlers, the fan group for University of Missouri. They're pretty ruthless. I wasn't quite that bad. Mm-hmm. But they did so much research, and I go, man, I like that. Then I don't know if Duke started that back then or not, yeah, but I was getting a lot of stuff from them and watch a lot of college basketball. But for high schools, I don't know of a lot of schools at that time that were doing it.
Yeah. Greg, how about that year, that era, that team? What did you see, things that were going on kind of made us had a chance at doing what we did?
Well, I think it was just carryover from football. You know, that success and these kids believed that they were going to win. And you know, they just were so physical and athletic and they just, and they played so well together as a team. There was yeah. no selfish, nobody worried about who was scoring, you know, all the points or this. They were just in it to win.
We never knew who was going to be the leading scorer.
Yeah, they were just never in it knew. To win,
yeah.
you know. And we had some guys that just blossomed. I think one of the keys to that team was Scott Coughlin.
Yeah.
Scott Coughlin, I mean, as a freshman sophomore, I mean, you know, we didn't know that. I mean, he turned into Superman. I mean, he was great.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great, and we needed that. You know, he was our big. You know, he was our big guy in the middle.
Yeah.
So.
I think the other thing with that team, too, was the physicalness of it and their dedication to the weight room. All your guys inside, your front line, people weren't going to move them around. Yeah. They were just big, solid, you know, high school players, and they really bought into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
One player I'd like to mention that basically, you know, we had to play Marquette. Marquette was really tough. And, you know, just we were down four, I think. And the last seconds of the game.
Yeah, it was under a minute.
Yeah. And it was the second game of that tournament.
What was the semifinal? We had to win that game to get to the championship.
Yeah.
Played Perry the second game.
And, Justin Gibson kind of single-handedly took the game over and won it in the last seconds, yeah. you know?
That was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen at any basketball game. You know, he gets fouled. He makes an and-one, you know, gets an and-one.
We're down four.
We're down four. So now we're down two, goes to the free throw line, misses the free throw, somehow gets his own rebound. But that... Justin had some of the quickest feet.
When,
you know, you look at him on a football field, sacking the court. I mean, his feet were so quick. He got to that ball, grabbed that rebound, goes back up with it, gets fouled again, makes it. Now we're tied, goes to a free throw line, hits his free throw. We're up one.
Yeah.
And
we ended up winning the game.
Yeah.
You know,
we one possession. We come away with 5 points.
Yeah.
And we were down four.
You know, Justin Gibson was the fastest kid on the football team, and he played center and defensive end.
Yeah.
But when he was a sophomore, and that was my first year at Calhoun, and I was coaching football, he came out. He comes from, I mean, he lived over in Mosier. He had, you know, their family had one car. You know, and his chances to get, I mean, it was tough for him to play sports. And he quit, you know, we knew he had talent, but he quit in 2-a-days, you know. And so he quit, kind of forgotten about. And then towards the end of football season, we could start basketball. I started basketball. And he shows up at practice, and he's in the gym, you know. And I walk up to him, I go, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm going to play basketball. I go, no, you're not. You're not playing. go, what do you mean? I go, I'm not putting a bunch of time in you and have you quit on me. So just be gone. Go ahead. I don't want you on the team. He's like, no, he was like a car salesman. Of course, I was using some psychology on him. I'm like, no, you're not. And he had to sell me. He had to convince me that he was not going to quit. He'd show up for every practice. He was going to be dedicated. I'm like, okay. But he's a great player. Great. Yeah. Great teammate.
Didn't you have something like that, too, with Matt Bauman, Matt B. Bauman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was quitting and coming back. And
I was kind of tough on him. He quit. And then his dad, Doc Bauman, which we're like lifetime family friends with the Baumans, you know, the Bauman boys. I knew them all. But I was young, only 27, 25, 26, 27 when I played. And I was just kind of like hard on these kids, you know. Matt quit, came back the next year. I said, sure, you want to play? But his dad convinced me that he would be a player. You know, yeah. He'd follow my rules, you know.
But that helped make those kids mentally tough, too.
Yeah, you know, they were mentally tough. Yeah, tough love, for sure.
You know, I'm going to get back to where you talked about the physicality of that team. They fed off that from you. That's the way you played football, basketball. You were like a no-nonsense type guy out there that banged and was physical. And I think they fed off that from you also.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that was kind of the way it was with me, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, believe it or not, fellas, we've ran out of time on this episode. So we're going to go continue on. So if you're listening, tune back in. We're going to have the next episodes coming up. You can go to Listen on Demand or WJBM Radio YouTube and hear this second one right now if you want to, because it'll be put on the air and on YouTube.